I can't believe we're going to finish another book of the Bible today.
Yep.
Look at how much we've read versus how much we haven't read.
Wow. Do you guys see that?
Do you see it?
That's amazing.
I feel like nobody even looked. That's fine.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians today. We're finishing it out. 10, 11, 12, 13.
Yeah. In chapter 10, Paul defends his authority.
Oh.
Now I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ. Though I realize you think I am timid in person and bold only when I write from far away. Well, I am begging you now so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are
He's human. Talking a big game.
He is. We are human. Somebody pictured Paul as a mini Danny DeVito.
Oh, man. A mini Danny DeVito?
Not a mini Danny DeVito.
He's already mini.
Not Danny DeVito.
Oh, okay.
Not a mini Danny DeVito.
Well, I'm begging you now.
That was great. All right, Paul, we're sorry. We love you. Can't wait to see you.
Yeah.
All right.
And hopefully Danny DeVito, too. That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Put you next to each other. We won't even know who's who.
On that one. Oh, no. We have a short amount of time to get this done. I think I need a Snickers bar.
Oh, my goodness.
Whose turn is it to read?
It's yours, man.
Where
verse
are we
three.
At? Oh, we are human, but we don't wait. As humans do. We use God's.
You're a mess.
I'm here.
Yeah.
We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you become fully obedient, we will punish everyone. Remains disobedient.
Man, you're having a tough time with this Danny DeVito bit.
Yeah.
Look at the obvious facts. Those who say they belong to Christ must recognize that we belong to Christ as much as they do. I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority.
Yeah. I'm not trying to frighten you by my letters, for some say Paul's letters are demanding and forceful, but in person he's weak. And his speeches are worthless. Those people should realize that our actions when we arrive in person will be as forceful as when we say our letters are from far away.
Oh, don't worry. Okay. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as those other men who tell you how important they are. But they're only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant!
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Woo!
We will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which include our working with you. We are not reaching beyond these boundaries when we claim authority over you as we had never visited you. For we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Christ.
Nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Then we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places far beyond you where no one else is working. Then there will be no question of our boasting about work done in someone else's territory. As the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord.
Good idea. When people commend themselves, it doesn't come... doesn't count for much. The important thing is for the Lord to commend them.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul and the false apostles. No, that is not a band.
Oh,
this is the headline.
Yeah.
I hope you will put up with a little more of my foolishness. Please bear with me, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believe.
But I don't consider myself inferior in any way to these super apostles who teach us things. I may be unskilled as a speaker, but I'm not lacking in knowledge. We have made this clear to you in every possible way.
Was I wrong when I humbled myself and honored you by preaching God's good news to you without expecting anything in return? Mm-hmm. I robbed other churches by accepting their contributions so I could serve you at no cost. And when I was with you and didn't have enough to live on, I did not become a financial burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia brought me all that I needed. I have never been a burden to you, and I never will be. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, no one in all of Greece will ever stop me from boasting about this. Why? Because I don't love you? God knows that I do.
But I will always continue to do what I've always done. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast that their work is like ours. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as the apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve.
Paul's many trials. Again, I say, don't think I am a fool to talk to you like this. But even if you do, listen to me, as you would to a foolish person, while I also boast a little. Such boasting is not from the Lord, but I am acting like a fool. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you think they're so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, taking everything you have, and when they take advantage of you, take control of everything, and slap you in the face. I'm ashamed to say that we've been too weak to do that.
But whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again. I dare to boast about it too. Are they Hebrews? So am I.
Boom.
Are they Israelites? So am I.
Boom.
Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I.
Boom.
Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long and during many sleepless nights. And I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm.
Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray and I do not burn with anger?
If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I am not lying. When I was in Damascus, the governor under King Artaxerxes kept guards at the city gates to catch me. I had to be lowered in the basket through a window in the city wall to escape from him.
Paul's vision and his thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell.
That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I'll boast only about my weaknesses. If I want to boast, I would be a fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message, even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud.
3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Paul's concern for the Corinthians. You have made me act like a fool. You ought to be writing commendations for me, for I am not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I'm nothing at all. When I was with you, I certainly gave you proof that I'm an apostle. For I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you. The only thing I failed to do, which I do in other churches, was to become a financial burden to you. Please forgive me for this wrong.
Whew. Now I am coming to you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you. I don't want what you have. I want you. After all, children don't provide for their parents. Rather, parents provide for their children. I will gladly spend myself and all I have for you, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me.
Some of you admit I was not a burden to you, but others still think I was sneaky and took advantage of you by trickery. But how? Did any of the men I sent to you take advantage of you? When I urged Titus to visit you and send our brother with him, did Titus take advantage of you? No, for we have the same spirit and walk in each other's steps, doing things the same way.
Perhaps you think we're saying these things just to defend ourselves. No, we tell you this as Christ's servants and with God as our witness. Everything we do, dear friends, is to strengthen you. For I am afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response. I am afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior. Yes, I am afraid that when I come again, God will humble me in your presence, and I will be grieved because many of you have not given up your old sins. You have not repented of your impurity, sexual immorality, and eagerness for lustful pleasure.
2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul's final advice. This is the third time I'm coming to visit you, and as the scriptures say, the facts of every case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I've already warned those who have been sinning when I was there on my second visit. Now again, warn them and all the others, just as I did before, that the next time I will not spare them.
I will give you all the proof you want that Christ speaks through me. Christ is not weak when he deals with you. He is powerful among you. Although he was crucified in weakness, he now lives by the power of God. We too are weak, just as Christ was, but when we deal with you, we will be alive with him and will have God's power.
Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed a test of the genuine faith. As you test yourselves, I hope you will recognize that we have not failed the test of apostolic authority.
There it is. We pray to God that you will not do what is wrong by refusing our correction. I hope we won't need to demonstrate our authority when we arrive. Do the right thing before we come, even if that makes it look like we have failed to demonstrate our authority. For we cannot oppose the truth, but we must always stand for the truth. We are glad to seem weak if it helps show you that we are actually strong. We pray that you will become mature.
I am writing this to you before. I hope I come, hoping that I won't need to deal severely with you when I do come. For I want to use the authority the Lord has given me to strengthen you, not to tear you down.
Paul's final greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. Grow to maturity. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you.
Greet each other with a sacred kiss. All of God's people here send you their greetings.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
I'm relieved that Paul didn't write that whole, like, in my own writing, this letter's from Paul thing.
Yeah.
Because I would have had to read it in a Danny DeVito voice for you.
That would have been, oh, man.
And I wouldn't have a choice. All right, two semi-ordinary, might be pushing the limits on that
today.
Yeah, we're
pushing it today.
Yeah, two weird pastors reading an extraordinary book.
Sorry, Paul.
To some wonderful people that just honestly can't get enough. Danny DeVito readings.
Oh, wow.
We answer two questions here. So what? Where's Jesus? And today, we will change nothing. Chip, will you do the so what for us?
Yep, I will.
Good.
So what? Man, it appears, doesn't it? An observation is that Paul is defending his authority.
Oh, yeah. Sarcastically.
As a minister of the gospel, and he did that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so evidently there were some haters out there that were questioning the authority he had. I love it. You know, he just wasn't backing down.
No.
And the reason he wasn't backing down is because, number one, he loves the Lord, but he loves the people.
Yeah, exactly.
And he wants what's best for them. And he knows that some of them, a lot of them, are caught up in sin, in sexual immorality, and some crazy stuff out there. And he cares about them, and he's heartbroken over them, and so he's writing this letter. He's, you know, is just calling them out, and all because of his love for them. And I think may that be the takeaway. There's a lot of good passages I was marking through here that I could have talked, but they've been preached on before. I'm sure we've even talked about some of them before. But I think here is just realizing what God has called you to do, and why He has called you to do it. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. And so it's not about winning over people, but about winning people to to Team Jesus and what he stands for. And we do that because of our love. And sometimes we have to say hard things. And I think a misconception out there is that if we're going to be loving, then we say things people want to hear.
Right.
You know, but loving, according to Scripture, and the example of Jesus, and right here, Paul, it's saying things that people might not want to hear, but need to hear. But he does it out of love, and you can just feel that from him. And he's just not letting go of that. And so I would say, may that be the takeaway, that you genuinely love others that God has called you to minister to. Paul accepted his call and went after it wholeheartedly. And we read about all the things he went through.
Right.
Holy doctor, he went through a bunch of stuff.
Holy doctor, he did. Man. He had a holy doctor with him,
by the way. He did. And so we go through stuff too, but not as bad, but still, we do it for him because of what he's done for us, and that motivates us. But we do it to reach people, to impact people, to love people, to care for people. And it's a part of our calling to disciple people, you know, especially believers that are living this way, is to speak into their life. And the best way to do that is to have a relationship with them,
right,
and to basically earn that right. But regardless, we got to speak the truth in a loving way because we care for them, love them, and want to see them be blessed, you know, at the judgment seat of Christ for believers that we read about earlier on. And it's just great stuff. So there it is.
Yeah, I love that. Paul basically says, like, don't confuse my humility with weakness. And I just love that, too. You know, that piece about the hard truths. I was thinking when you said, you know, we're called to do that and, we have to do that. I can't think of a single person in Scripture, a single leader in Scripture who never gave a hard truth. They all did, right? All of them, from Abraham to Joseph to Moses, Daniel, David, Jesus, of course, the apostle, all of them had to communicate hard truths sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when you have a leader mm-hmm. in your life or someone you're looking to in your life mm-hmm. and they never tell you the hard truth, mm-hmm. just understand they're failing you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're failing you.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so where's Jesus in this? I love, like, this piece of Paul's life gets overlooked so often because I think people kind of brush by 2 Corinthians a little quickly.
Yeah.
This piece of Paul's life that 14 years before writing this, he got sucked up into heaven and talked to Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people miss that part
of
it. Yeah. We know about Paul's conversion. We know about Paul's journeys. We know about Paul's death. We know about Paul's writings. And I think a lot of times, if you are a person who has not read all the way through the Bible, we brush by 2 Corinthians in favor of the Romans or the Acts, you know, like some of the bigger books, and we brush by this letter because it's the second one, right? So even just in our minds, we kind of put it down the ranking. Yeah. So we skip over this, and we miss the fact that Paul spent time with Jesus in heaven.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of cool.
You know, where's Jesus in this that, you know, to keep him humble from this journey to heaven, he's afflicted in some way with some thorn of the flesh, whether that's a sin problem, a disease, a disability, whatever it is. He prays to Jesus to take it away from him, and Jesus gives him these words, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And what a powerful word for those of us who struggle with anything. And we all do, right? We all struggle with things. Like Chip said, maybe not to the extent that Paul did with some of his sufferings, but we all have our shipwrecks. We all have our lashes. We all have our rejections. We all have those things in different forms. And when you're going through those things and you're crying out to God and you want to know where he is, when you're saying, where's Jesus, not as a way of finding him in the text, but as a, I'm alone right now, where's Jesus? Just know that he's there and that the thing that's carrying you through is his sufficient grace and his power is working through your weakest moments. So that's where Jesus is in the text.
Very good.
That's where he is in your life.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen indeed.
Okay. All right, Eric. Well, it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah. Come to our party. We'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah. See you at the party. Bring gifts.
You know who's going to be there? The Apostle Paul.
Woohoo!